This is The Huddle.
This is not just, this is what we do.
Every Thursday from noon to 2.
Presented by DUIHeroes.com.
The Huddle.
This is The Huddle with Dave Wyman, Jake Heath, and Stacey Ross. No Wyman today. He's out sick. Wishing him good health right now. A little bit of a bug going around, so you'll have to excuse my nasally voice as well.
That
sorry,
time
guys.
Of year.
It really is. It's just every other person. All right, so we're going to get started by taking, I will be very brief with this, a very, very brief look back at a pretty heartbreaking loss against the Washington football team, Jake. But we're also going to be looking ahead to an opportunity, a real opportunity against the San Francisco 49ers. So let's start by looking back at that Monday night game against Washington, where once again you had a pretty solid performance by defense. They were on the field, though, for 40 minutes compared to the 18 minutes that Seattle's offense possessed the ball, in part because Seattle's offense could not convert on third down. They finished 4 of 12 there for 33%, just a hair above their 32% record there during the season, which is last in the league. They've really, really struggled. Why do you think we keep seeing some of those struggles specifically on third down?
Well, I mean, part of it is, you know, look, Russell Wilson just, you know, playing pitch and catch. I mean, there were a couple times where there were guys open and he just flat missed them. And so it's very jarring to see that inaccuracy from Russell Wilson, because you really don't know, you know, look, people can point to the finger. I don't believe it's the finger. I think that he is feeling fine. He feels, you know, like he's past that point. But I do think that there's a lot of other things that are going on in terms of pressing, which leads to him throwing with, you know, not the same mechanics that I'm used to him seeing throw, the normal way that I'm used to seeing him throw. It leads to, you know, the hesitancy and the lack of confidence when he's in the pocket, and just, you know, when something bad builds around you, everyone in the world is aware of the third down struggles for this offense. And I think sometimes you can get caught up in the idea of working so hard and wanting so badly to fix it and make it better that what you end up doing is you start pressing a little bit and you start trying to do too much, and you're just you have this sense and heightened awareness of the situation, right? And I think that everybody on that offense is caught up in that right now. So they're in a bad way when it comes to that front. And then the other thing, Stacey, is that in regards to the running game, they couldn't get anything going. I mean, I know that they only had, 10 attempts? 18 attempts in the game? You know, you go to the stats, and I mean, it was really bad. I mean, really bad from that front. So they had 12 carries, 34 yards. They had it, you know, 2.8 yards per carry. I mean, that's absolutely brutal. And some of that yardage, Stacey, one of those carries was Russell Wilson, you know, tucking and running it for a first down for, you know, 11, 12 yards. So you take those 12 yards away and the running game was virtually absolutely non-existent. And it more spoke to the fact that the offensive line just couldn't get anything going. More so it was the lack of running attempts.
Now, I'll say this. In the final minute or so of the game, not only did you see DK Metcalf get his first reception, I think everyone was waiting for that to happen, very curious that it took so long, but you also saw an offense that was moving down the field a little more efficiently. What were they doing late that worked for them so well? Is it just that Washington was on its heels because they were playing up-tempo a little bit more? I mean, what was working for them in that moment? Because they had a chance to come back and tie it.
Yeah, they did. And really what happened was is that they started playing prevent defense. They played a little softer. Russell Wilson, in those moments, I think does a really great job of using the entire field, the checkdowns that are available, because the linebackers are dropping really softly in those voided zones. And I thought he managed that drive beautifully. And that is also part of the other frustration as well is, you know, hey, why don't you go to that sooner? I don't think you can run a successful offense trying to do that a lot or the majority time of the game. But when things aren't right, why not change the tempo? Why not change the mode in which you're playing? And right now, I see the offense trying to do that in a number of different ways, and they're just not successfully hitting the right button. So as a whole, Stacey, DK Metcalf has to be targeted earlier. They have to make a more concerted effort to get him the football. That's from the, you know, job of Shane Waldron himself to Russell Wilson. And then the other side of it, though, Stacey, is that it is really impressive with all the bad that is going on, and there is plenty of it, but with all of that going on, to see the effort of this team throughout the game, to see the effort of the defense and the way that they stayed with it and stuck with it and came up with a big play after big play, with the offense, with Russell Wilson, with as bad as he played and with that offense as bad as they played, they went down with the game on the line, went out from 97 yards out and ended up putting a scoring drive together with a chance to tie it up at the end. I mean, that's really impressive, Stacey. That is really hard to do. And in the NFL, when you're 3-8, it's really easy to see guys checked out. And I didn't see that at all from these Seahawks.
Let's talk about what they can take and build on. They're going to be facing off against the San Francisco 49ers. See, you guys, I told you I wouldn't waste too long on the Washington football team. The 49ers are 6-5 this season. Now, they started out as a preseason favorite, though once again ran into a couple injury issues this season. Struggled a little early to start the year, though they've had some pretty impressive wins of late, including one against the Rams. They are 2-4 at home, 4-1 on the road. Meanwhile, the Seattle Seahawks, they're back at Lumen Field for this one, though they're the 1-4 at home. I don't like that split. However, Jake, the Seahawks will be facing a 49ers team that doesn't have Deebo Samuel and won't have Fred Warner either. Catching a lucky break there.
Big-time break. I mean, honestly, you talk about those two players. Those are the two most important players for the San Francisco 49ers. And people are like, wait, what? But you didn't mention Nick Bosa's name. You didn't mention Tarek Armstead's name. Yeah, no, it isn't either one of those players. It's Fred Warner. And it's Deebo Samuel. Deebo Samuel on the offensive side of the ball. You look at the resurgence of the 49ers, Stacey, and they've gotten things back in terms of, you know, really putting an emphasis in the run game and putting Jimmy Garoppolo in better positions. But Deebo Samuel has been the major playmaking weapon for them. He's been the main touchdown getter for them over this stretch of three games, Stacey, where they've been able to score over 30 points a game. So missing him, a part of that, makes them a little bit more one-dimensional in terms of what they're able to do and how they're able to attack, and that is obviously to the benefit of the Seahawks. And then you flip that over to Fred Warner, Stacey. In my opinion, he's arguably the best linebacker in the game with what he brings to the table in terms of the run game, in terms of the passing game. He is absolutely stellar. He is the glue to that entire defense. And with the group that doesn't have a ton of superstars across the board and are dealing with a number of different injuries, they have been a top six defense in this league, largely due to Fred Warner, his presence, and his leadership.
All right, if we're looking at what the Seahawks have to do offensively and defensively against San Francisco, offensively, easy, improve on third down. You cannot continue to be abysmal there. Pete Carroll, when asked what's the problem with the offense, what's the problem with Russell Wilson, what's the problem with all of this, says, look, it starts and ends with third down. We can't get to our plays. We can't move down the field. We can't score if we can't stay on the field, if we can't control the ball. We need to be better there. We know what the challenge is on offense. How about on defense, though? The challenge is going to be to stop who?
The challenge is really going to be to stop their run game. That's going to be the challenge, because if you look at the San Francisco 49ers, their run game over the last three games has really exploded for them. They have really made a more concerted effort to start running the football, and they've been very, very successful with it, and they've got a great group to be able to get it done up front and with Kyle Juszczyk, their fullback, George Kittle. I mean, they are fully committed to it, and they are getting after it. They had 156 yards against the Rams. You look at this most recent game against the Vikings, and their running back Mitchell, he had 133 yards on the ground.
That's
so
right, and a score.
Yeah, and over 208 yards on the ground as a whole. So you just look at that part of it, and that's really what they're going to have to stop, Stacey. It's going to be all about the running game, putting it on Jimmy Garoppolo's shoulders, and if they can do that, they've got a great chance to win.
Now, one thing that's interesting is we're so used to talking about a San Francisco team, and you pointed to this earlier, that starts with this defensive line that's built around the defensive line that features Nick Bosa, and it's stopping scoring, it's stopping the pass most especially. They allowed 26 points from the Vikings. The Vikings at 5-6 aren't the best team in the NFC, but they've certainly got more healthy weapons right now than a lot of other teams, particularly in Seattle, where they can't get much of anything going on offense. So I am not saying there's an opportunity here for the Seahawks against the San Francisco defense, but it sounds like there's an opportunity here.
There is. There is a definite opportunity. Absolutely. I mean, you talk about this last game being a heartbreaker because Washington, I thought, was an opponent that the Seahawks absolutely had a chance to win and maybe turn things around a little bit more. The 49ers in this group, they play hard. They play physical. They play tough. So this is definitely going to be a challenge for the Seahawks. The 49ers feel good about the direction that they're heading in right now, and they are very different from the Seahawks. Their organization in that building, it's buzzing. They're feeling good. They're in contention for the playoffs, all those different things. For the Seahawks, they are more in a position where they are trying to figure things out and trying to get their group on both sides of the ball to play together and play better. So if you're talking about this from an offensive standpoint, because really with the Seahawks, that's been the main struggle, there is a good opportunity here for you with Fred Warner being out to be able to potentially get that done.
All right, the preview is just starting. Seahawks taking on the 49ers this Sunday at Lumen Field, returning back home for a game against a divisional foe. We're going to be talking to some players today. Cody Barton, D. Eskridge going to join us, as well as some Seahawks experts, Ray Roberts, Steve Rabel, voice of the Hawks. Everyone's joining us for a two-hour preview of this upcoming game. Don't go anywhere. Cody Barton's next.
This is The Huddle, every Thursday from noon to 2 on 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is The Huddle with Dave Wyman, Jake Heaps, and Stacey Ross. No Wyman today, but Jake and I are going to help you guys get ready with a two-hour preview of the Seahawks' upcoming game against the San Francisco 49ers. We're going to be speaking with linebacker Cody Barton in just a couple minutes here. Practice just wrapped. Players still coming off the field. Jake, before we grab Cody and talk to him about this defense, let's talk to you about this defense and what the Seahawks have been able to do there. Now, they've been on the field a ton. Seahawks are the worst team in time of possession in the league. And against Washington, Seattle's defense was on the field for 40 minutes. You've seen, though, a pretty solid game, limiting Washington to 17 points. They've limited opponents to, I think, no more than 23 or so over the last several contests. So they've really improved there. When you talk about stats that you're looking at, stats that you don't love, what's a stat that tells you a lot about where the defense is right now?
Well, a stat that tells me a lot about where the defense is at, I mean, I'll give you a positive and then I'll give you a negative, and they kind of work away from each other. But the positive is that they are doing a great job in third down and red zone, and that really matters. And that is, you know, the two biggest keys in terms of any defense is, can you get people off the field when it calls for it? And then when it comes down to getting in the red zone, it's really important to hold teams to field goals instead of touchdowns.
All right. Well, I know exactly who to ask about that, and that is linebacker Cody Barton, who joins us now fresh out of practice. Cody, how's it going?
Good. How are you guys doing? Thanks for having me.
Of course. Thanks for joining us. We were just talking about what this defense has been doing so well. You guys have really been buckling down in the red zone. I mean, how does how do the rules, from a very basic standpoint, how does the mindset and the rules kind of change when you get inside the 20?
Yeah, I mean, it's a mentality. Once they start getting in that red zone, you know, you gotta buckle down and, you know, at all costs, once they're down at the 20, you know, keep them to field goals, if anything. You know, we really got to defend that end zone, and the last thing we want to do is give up a touchdown.
You know, Cody, the one thing that's been really interesting is watching the defense evolve as the season has gone on and really trying to find your way and really figure out what works. What is that process like, and what has that been like with the guys in the locker room on that side of the ball? You know, as you guys have worked through some of those issues and have really kind of found your way and starting to get things to click a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, just looking back on the season, you know, that's just, I guess it's kind of like life too. I mean, as you go through this season or this journey, whatever you want to call it, you know, you learn a lot about yourself, a lot about this team, and you grow together and learn from the mistakes and learn from the wins as well. And, you know, every game you're learning something, growing together. And, you know, as time's gone on, you know, that everything's starting to get cleaned up and everything's starting to click.
Cody, who would you attribute that to? Is there, you know, a couple guys that you point to and say, man, they've been instrumental in this, or the coaching staff? I mean, who, in your opinion, who has been reflective of that?
Honestly, I feel like it's been all of us as a collective group, you know, players and coaches, and just coming after games, win or loss, and, you know, holding each other accountable, holding yourself accountable, and through that we've been able to grow and grow as a defense.
Cody, you guys don't have an easy job against San Francisco, especially when you're a linebacker. I know that you do a lot on special teams, but defensively you guys have to worry about Kittle. You've got to worry about their run game. I mean, what specifically in those two areas with Kittle and then with the run does San Francisco do well?
Yeah, I mean, in the run game, you know, they got a dynamic run game. They like to run the ball a lot. They got all kinds of looks, all kind of motions, stuff like that, and they use Kittle a lot. He's a great blocker. And then also with Kittle, his pass art as well, you know, his routes and stuff, he's overall just a good player. And they got their fullback. He's a really good player. And so, I mean, as a team, they have a good offense, and it's going to be a good matchup.
Cody, where were you when you found out that Utah just absolutely laid it down on Oregon?
It was a Saturday. We were about to go into our night meetings, and the game kind of bled into our night meetings. What was it, a couple weeks ago or something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was given, you know, Ugo, he went to Oregon, so we were kind of talking about who's going to win the game, kind of giving each other some crap, and then all of a sudden he shows up and shows me the score of the game, and I was like, holy crap.
it was absolutely amazing. I'm surprised Ugo even showed you the game. If I was Ugo, I would have hit that score from
like,
you
no,
as long as I could.
You guys are losing. This game is done.
Well, he was talking a big game before the game even started, so he was like, hey, you called it.
That's
I'm
funny.
Shocked you guys didn't have some kind of bet going. I know a reporter who had to, a Coug, who had to wear like a duck costume. You guys didn't have anything like that?
Oh, yeah. That'd be fun. Make him wear a Utah jersey?
Yeah, exactly.
maybe for this, I think they play this Friday, I think, for the Pac-12 Championship.
You'll have to get something going this time around. You really got to do that, Cody. You got to make sure that there's maybe like a jersey, not a swap, because he'll not want to keep it. But you got to make sure that there's some kind of punishment here for a former Duck.
Yeah,
there's got to be.
I'll think of something.
Cody, how about, you know, with special teams as well? I mean, it's been an area that I know you guys take a lot of pride in, and it's been really fun to watch you in particular on special teams. But how that seems to be an area that also has kind of gone through that transformation as the season has progressed, getting better and better each week.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, you know, we take a lot of pride in our special teams, and you know, we're a tight-knit unit, and I think what makes us all special is that we're all competing to see who's going to make the play, and we're all trying to get down there fast. Who's going to run down there fastest? Who's going to make the most tackles? You know what I mean? Just everything we're doing, we're trying to compete for it, and at the same time, we're having a lot of fun doing it, and so it's just, I mean, we have a lot of fun on special teams.
Cody, as a quarterback, there was a part of me that I was always grateful that I never had to participate in special teams, because it just seemed like, you know, it was the craziest guys that were on special teams, and it was...
You're not telling Cody about the time, Jake.
No, we don't need to talk about that. What is that mentality like, and what is it? Is it just pure chaos as you guys are going down there, running on kickoffs, running on punt coverage, all of that?
Yeah, that's a pretty good way to put it, kind of chaos. you know, it's super fast, super high impact, because, I mean, everyone's getting a 40-yard-plus, you know, head start. And so, I mean, there's a lot of high impact plays. Everything's all fast reads. Everyone's flying around, bodies flying. And so, I mean, you got to be a little different to be, you know, to thrive on special teams, but it's fun.
Yeah, it is fun. Hey, Cody, I almost forgot. I wanted to ask you. I can't believe I almost forgot this. But I know in the off seasons, or at least you have, you've worked on, you know, just the mental side of the game and playing chess, and found it, you know, playing chess with Seth Mikowski. I actually know him pretty well. Can you talk about, you know, how did you get into that?
Yeah, so a good buddy of mine, who's also part of my agency that I'm with, he somehow got in touch with Seth a couple of years ago and connected us. Because he knows I'm always trying to explore different ways to up my game, whether it's mentally, physically, or whatever. And so he got us in touch, and then, you know, I talked to him on the phone one time to get to know him, and then ever since then we talk all the time. You know, we still play chess and here and there, but, I mean, we still talk all the time. We're friends, and that's funny, you know. That's a small world.
It is. As Seth actually told me, you know, make sure to tell you hi. But why is chess a way to get better from a football perspective?
It's not the game of chess itself, I guess. I mean, I'm going to try my best to explain it. It's like the thought process and, like, your decision-making, strategizing, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? It's like more of your thought process.
Yeah, that's awesome.
All right. He is Seahawks linebacker Cody Barton. Cody, we appreciate you taking the time, man. Good luck this weekend.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys.
Thanks, Cody.
Now, next time we'll have to ask Cody to ask you what happens when a quarterback is put on special teams.
we don't need to know the answer to that.
I think We do.
No, Stacey,
we don't need to get into
okay?
it right now.
We're going to leave that deep, buried in the past in 2006 on the Skyline High School football field.
Don't go anywhere. D. Eskridge is joining us next on The Huddle.
This is The Huddle. Every Thursday from noon to 2 on 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is The Huddle with Dave Wyman, Jake Heaps, and Stacey Ross. Joining us right now from Seahawks headquarters, right out of practice, is wide receiver D. Eskridge. D, how's it going?
It's going well. How you doing?
I'm well. I haven't really had a chance to talk to you much because you've been injured and finally you're back. You finally have a chance to get out there. But let me tell you what, Dee, we talked with your college coach who was so excited about what you could do at this level. It was clear that he felt that you were like one of the best players he's coached. I'm not just paraphrasing what he's saying. There really was a lot of real sentiment there. I mean, do you feel like, even though it's been a couple months now, you're just now getting a chance to prove yourself?
Yeah, this has been a lot of adversity that's came my way my first year, which I'm okay with, you know, starting out this way. You know, it's going to make me tougher and stronger for the long run. So, now that I'm able to get back out there, you know, I've just continued to do the things that I started out doing, you know, always working hard, keeping myself grounded, you know, so I just keep on attacking.
D, what was that like, that process? I mean, you know, being out with a concussion is so different from everything else because, you know, it's these are different injuries and easier ways to get back from, whereas a concussion, it's so up in the air. But how did you handle that process? And, you know, was there ever a time where you ended up getting frustrated or upset that you couldn't get back out there sooner?
Yeah, it was definitely, the whole process was definitely frustrating. But, you know, I always just told myself I didn't really have a choice. You know, I couldn't stop where I was at, you know, just because of the concussion and things that I was dealing with. So, you know, it was a vigorous process. You know, I put in a lot of work that a lot of people outside of this facility don't really know what I did to come back. So, you know, I'm just happy that I got through and happy that I'm back on the field now.
Yeah, that's the thing is I remember Pete Carroll at a press conference saying, oh, D's back in town. And I was thinking, D's back in town? Where'd he go? And then we learned that you went to see a vision specialist in Florida. I mean, what was all of that like?
Yeah, it was definitely tough. We was doing just a lot of eye reconfiguration and just a lot of just brain things to help me get my senses back to where they needed to be to perform at a high level at wide receiver, you know, because it's a lot of things that with hand-eye coordination, being able to anticipate things, and those were the things that I was struggling with. So, you know, the Dr. Antonucci in Florida, he just came up with a plan. We just came up with a plan, and we just attacked it every day, all day, the time that I was there.
Scale of 1 to 100 percentage wise, where are you at right now?
I would say I'm 100.
Now, D, you know, now that you've been back and you've been cleared, you know, it's been a process, you know, getting back into the swing of things and getting more reps and opportunities to get on the field. You know, what has it been like for you each week and you know, building towards, you know, feeling 100%, not just physically, but mentally with this offense?
Yeah, you know, I really rely on Russ a lot. You know, I come in early with him, still like I started out doing. And, you know, I just constantly just ask questions with him and allow myself to rely on him for him to be able to put me in the best position, you know. So I just feed off of him, feed off of my coach and the guys in the room and, you know, just finding my role, since I've missed so much time and coming back to this team. So I would say some along the lines of that.
What's your relationship like right now with some of those other receivers, particularly Tyler and DK?
I would say we're close. We're a tight-knit group in that room. You know, we get each other better. You know, we talk about things, and, you know, we're not really afraid to hold our tongue when it comes to each other. So I would say it's a close-knit group.
Now, you're the new guy. Are you being peer pressured? Is DK trying to get you to dye the hair green? You know what I mean? Is Tyler trying to get you to coordinate some dances?
I wouldn't say DK is trying to get me to dye my hair green, but Tyler is trying to get me to dance a little bit more.
No, and the end, so he's saying, okay, you need, is he saying, like, hey, when we're doing warm-ups, you just need to be more animated, or is he saying, we need to coordinate your first touchdown celebration?
It's maybe a little bit of both. You know, he always got great energy all day.
Yeah.
So I would say it's a little bit of both.
Oh, he's funny, man.
Yeah, Tyler is a funny guy, and you know, being in the locker room with him, he's also a very calming presence. What is it like, the star difference between DK and Tyler, and how has that been beneficial for you to see that there are different styles, not just in size, but approach as well?
Yeah, I would say it helps me. It helps me a lot just because I feel like me and DK are similar when it comes to the attributes that we have, when it comes to speed, power, and physicality and things like that. And then Tyler, on the other hand, he's pretty much all mental. He knows what's going to happen before it's going to happen, and he's able to react in a successful way. So I feel like me being able to get some things from DK and then get some things from Tyler that I don't necessarily – well, that I'm working towards having, you know, I feel like that's gonna create someone athlete in me to where, you know, I didn't show that side in college.
Yeah.
So, you know, I feel like it'll be great for the future of me being able to apply those things that I've learned from these two.
Now, have you had a moment this year where it felt like someone was really trying to help you out and you thought, wow, this is a cool moment? Like, I remember talking with Trey Flowers when he was here, and he said when Brandon Marshall, who was here for a little bit, pulled him aside and was doing, like, one-on-one drills with him, and he was just kind of in awe of what was happening, felt like it was a cool opportunity. Dee, have you had a moment this year where maybe Russell Wilson pulls you aside and works one-on-one? DK, anything like that?
Yeah, definitely Russ. You know, we're just constantly working on details, constantly talking things out about this look or that look, and just really just talking football and then a lot of things about life as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's pretty often when it comes to Russ. You know, that's who he is, and then DK as well, and Tyler. So, you know, we do that pretty often.
It's no surprise, no mistake that the offense has really struggled so far this season. But, you know, from your perspective, seeing it and seeing how these guys are handling it and how you guys as a group are handling it, what do you think, you know, fans should know about the way the offense is approaching it during the week?
I mean, we're not going to stop. It's always, you know, we're always trying to push forward, not really worried about too much in the past, you know, because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter from this point forward. So we always just being where we are, you know, what can we work on to get better from the things that we did see from the last weeks prior, and just keep on getting better in some type of way, 1% better each day. And, you know, I just feel like that's the type of energy we have on this offense, even though it hasn't been going as well.
Yeah, it hasn't been going as well, especially on third down, and I know you guys know that. Has that been a special focus for you guys this week?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we're constantly just working on all phases, honestly, because nothing's perfect and nothing will be perfect. So we're just constantly just hammering down what we need to do, the details of what we're doing.
Do you get any sense of panic, or do you feel like there's a good presence about the way that everybody's trying to handle everything?
I feel like it's a good presence because in football, you know, this is – you don't win everything, you know, and there's times where, like, losing, you know, we've been here before. So, you know, we just constantly just keeping our foot, one foot in front of another.
All right. He is Dee Eskridge, wide receiver for the Seahawks. Dee, you know what this means, though, is now when you do get your first touchdown, I'm personally going to be expecting that Tyler and you will have worked something out with, like, a dance or a celebration move. I mean, man, you're setting the bar high right now. You should never have told us this.
Yeah, we'll see about that.
All right. Well, have fun this Sunday, man.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Dee.
He is wide receiver Dee Eskridge. Really excited to see him. He said he's at 100% as he continues to get out there and just be incorporated into this offense. I remember just how excited a lot of people were to see what he would be in this system. You had an offensive coordinator coming from the Rams offense and a wide receiver that seemed like he was a perfect fit for that type of offense. And
yeah.
You haven't quite seen the marriage work out so far because he's missed so much time and the offense is trying to get firing on all cylinders. So I'm very curious to see that marriage finally happen. All right. Coming up next, we are going to be joined by Seahawks.com reporter John Boyle. Let's get updated on the latest injuries to this team. That's next.
This is The Huddle, every Thursday from noon to 2 on 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is The Huddle with Dave Wyman, Jake Heaps, and Stacey Ross. We are getting you guys ready for the Seahawks' upcoming game against the San Francisco 49ers. That one back at Lumen Field this Sunday. Now, Jake, we've talked to Cody Barton to figure out what's going on with defense. All of that was very interesting. Asked him about red zone defense, buckling down inside the 20s. We talked to Dee Eskridge to ask him about how he's acclimating to the offense now that he's healthy. Says he's at 100%. And now we're going to talk with John Boyle, who's a reporter for Seahawks.com, covering this team, knows it inside and out. John, how's it going?
It's going pretty good. How you guys doing?
Well, we just talked. I just mentioned with Cody Barton and Dee Eskridge to get a bit of a look at both sides of the ball here. But I'm wondering if we could take kind of a holistic approach first with you, which is to say, this is certainly not where the Seahawks expected to see themselves. I don't know how much there is to play for in terms of trying to push for the playoffs. They're still technically alive, but you certainly just want to get a win for, if nothing else, a feeling of getting back on the right track here.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, look, these guys, they want to win every game from here out, and they're going to keep playing for a playoff spot until, you know, the math says they can't get it, but they also probably understand internally that that's really tough odds at this point. But you're right. They need to get one for themselves just to, you know, these are all competitive guys. They're, you know, especially guys who've been here a long time, guys who are not used to losing at all. You know, they can win in 10, 12 games a season. So, yeah, it's, you know, I don't think there's any sense of guys, you know, giving up or, you know, just coasting through the season. They're all fighting hard still and in the right place mentally. But, yeah, they got to get some things right and start winning games.
Well, and that's certainly the mindset, it seems like, of the front office and Pete Carroll as well, because they went and signed Adrian Peterson. And John, what did you make of that signing, and what could it hopefully do for the team?
Yeah, I mean, we'll see how how ready he is. He's, you know, I know he did play early this year, but he's been out of football for, you know, whatever it is, a month or two now. So might have a little bit of rust to knock off and learn some of the offensive stuff. But I mean, he gives them, even, you know, we're not going to pretend he's all pro MVP level Adrian Peterson probably at this point, but he's still a physical back. And, you know, we've seen them struggle in some of those short yardage situations. They missed a couple of them last week in the running game. So maybe he's a guy that, once he's up to speed, if you want to bring him off the practice squad, can give you some just physical play and some, you know, some extra punch there. And then we heard Russell Wilson just talking about he's a veteran who knows how to, you know, prepare. He knows how to work. And it's just, some of that can be setting a good example for some young guys as well, of just sort of how to go about his business the right way.
Speaking of Russell Wilson, he's certainly come under a lot of scrutiny. I mean, struggles on third down. The offense as a whole struggling. So it's all understandable. Now, what makes it tough is he's coming back from a finger injury, right? So you're like, well, how much is not being healthy? How much is missing time? And how much is just making weird mistakes we're not used to seeing? And I don't think any of us know the answer right now. But when you guys have asked Russell Wilson about, you know, what he's working on or his mindset moving forward, what has he said?
I mean, in terms of his mindset, he's just all about getting it right. I mean, he talks about, he's a guy, and he's right about this. That throughout his career, he's been good at fixing things. When, you know, whether it was a stretch of his career where third down was bad, or he was turning the ball over a little bit too much, he's always been a guy that, you know, you put a challenge to him, he tends to get it right. And I think he'll do that here too. He's, you know, we've seen some really good throws out of him, especially the last two games, where you see it and you're like, okay, that looks like Russ. You know, that ball he threaded into Gerald Everett for the touchdown was great. He's thrown some really good deep balls the last two games. So he can make the throws. There's been a few that have gotten away, you know, especially we've seen some of those quick, you know, where he's trying to rip it, quick pass to Gerald Everett on third down or something like that, where they just sail on him a little bit. So whether that's, you know, a little bit of rust he's knocking off or whatever else it is, you know, no one's quite sure. At least they're not saying yet. But I full confidence that we're going to, you know, as the season goes along, we're going to see him get better and look more like Russell Wilson.
Hey, I want to get back to the running backs. We talked about Adrian Peterson being signed here and TBD as to what he's going to contribute. I mean, certainly someone to learn from for the other running backs in the room. One of the other running backs is Rashad Penny. John, I don't want to say surprised, but it was curious to say Pete Carroll say, no, Penny not heading to IR right now. He's injured, but we're going to wait to see how he looks. What's your understanding of where Penny's at in his recovery and maybe the probability he'll be back this week?
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't begin to be able to get a good probability and pretend like I know what I'm talking about. But I think it's just that they want to wait and make sure, you know, they don't want to make this call too soon, because I'm like, you know, earlier when you put him on IR the first time, it's that 3-week thing, but you put a guy on IR a second time, right, he's done. So I don't think they want to shut him down for the year if they do think he's going to get back relatively soon. They want to give him that shot. It's so unfortunate. We've seen kind of the tantalizing talent when he was healthy, and I think they just want to give him every shot to try to show it one more time here before the season's over. But I would guess it's, a week by week thing, and if they think he can get back fairly soon, you keep him around, and if it doesn't look like it's going to happen soon and you need that roster spot for an Adrian Peterson or anyone else, then maybe at some point you got to make that decision. But right now they're healthy enough, across the total roster that they don't need to rush to make that move to get their roster spot.
John, there was obviously a lot that was going wrong for the offense in this game against Washington, but you look at the defense and the job that they did in the second half and really the effort that they gave all game long. It wasn't perfect, but, man, they did come up with some big stops when they needed it. What does that say about this defense?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've seen some really good things out of this defense for a while, and just really, just kind of the heart, if you will, or the grit or whatever you want to call it, that they've been on the field a ton, has been well documented, and I know guys don't want to throw each other under the bus, and you're not going to hear defensive players complain about it, but you just can't tell me that playing 75 plays a game isn't getting tiring on them, especially late in games. And to see them in that fourth quarter have those three third and short stops, and then they get the fourth down, by literally as close a margin as you can get where they got to go review it, but Jamal Adams makes a really good play to get that fourth down stop at the goal line and give the offense a chance and make that an impressive drive they put together.
Yeah, that was Jamal Adams, his second pick of the year, and his season's just been improving. What have you been seeing from him in terms of why things are clicking and why he's improved? We might have lost John there.
Yep.
We'll work to see if we can get him back. But just a couple minutes left here. Jake, I'll throw you the question, actually, just to say, Jamal Adams got his second pick, this one against Taylor Heinicke. It wasn't really his strong suit. His strong suit last year was sacks. He hasn't been getting to the quarterback as much, but you've seen him improve as the year has gone on. Is that translating to you outside of just stats? You're seeing it with your eyes, the Jamal Adams that's playing better?
Well, in certain aspects. I mean, the one thing that really I don't like is the run by J.D. McKissic that happened in the Washington game, and seeing Bobby Wagner and Jamal Adams, the effort that they gave on that play, to me, I was not thrilled about that. But after that, I mean, I thought for the most part in the game, Jamal Adams had played extremely well, had been given a ton of energy, and laying big hits and doing all those things. So for the most part, I mean, I've been really happy with what Jamal has done and what he, in terms of what he has been asked to do. I think he's done a really good job up to this point. And, outside of a couple, big mistakes that's happened throughout the year, I think Jamal Adams has played the role exceptionally well. And again, it just comes down to usage being more of the reason why, Jamal hasn't consistently made some of these game-changing, big-time, impactful plays that we saw him make a ton last year. But definitely seeing him start to get some of those interceptions, starting to get two now, is an encouraging sign, and hopefully he'll get some more as time goes on. And I know in that building, being in that room, Stacey, you have any opportunity when you got tips and overthrows, you got to get those. And that is the mantra of that defense.
I like that it rhymes. I appreciate and respect that. I mentioned that we would get to injuries with John Boyle. We lost John. He's like alive.
He's still with us.
Yes. He's just not on the phone right now, but that's okay. We'll let him go because we just have a couple
minutes. Hopefully
Mrs.
Boyle didn't tune in right there. Like, oh, no.
Oh, God. No, John's okay. John's okay. But I'm going to go ahead and go over that injury report anyways, just so you guys have it. Only one player mispracticed yesterday. That is guard Kyle Fuller. I know he's center, but he filled in at guard in place of Lewis. He has an ankle injury. Limited. It's a full list here. I'm just going to read right through them. Gabe Jackson, Damian Lewis, DK Metcalf, Alex Collins, Rashad Penny, Brandon Shell, Dwayne Brown, Carlos Dunlap. The last two guys there, Brown and Dunlap, just resting veterans, so I wouldn't worry about those two. I also wouldn't worry about DK Metcalf, who's been on and off the injury report with a foot injury. He's always managed to play. If I'm you guys, I'm looking at Damian Lewis to see if he can get back. I'm also keeping an eye on that abdomen injury for Alex Collins. He's been dealing with kind of a hip abdomen injury. Make sure he can get back. And Rashad Penny, I'm also watching him to see if he could get back.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where you talk about the running back group, and that is obviously an area where you are concerned about the overall depth and everything else. But Stacey, overall, I mean, I think it's a very good, positive injury chart at this point in the season.
Right. John did get back to me and said his phone just dropped the call. I'm too afraid to tell him we may have told people implied that he died. I'm not going to say anything.
Well, he might hear about it later,
you
might want to tell him.
He's going to be fine. Don't tell John anything. This doesn't leave this room, okay? No one needs to know about it. Anyways, that is the Seahawks injury report and the latest from Seahawks.com reporter John Boyle. Coming up next, we are heading in the trenches, figure out what's going on with this O-line, not just health, but how they can improve for the rest of the year with Ray Roberts. He joins us next.